Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, I find myself at offices, at Mauro's Arch in Johannesburg. We are at, one of the competing securities exchanges, in the country. Most of the time, we talk about the Johannesburg Stock Exchange or the JSE, but there are a number of players that have since come up that are offering, unique and niche services, and serving clients, outside of what's going on with the JSE. So for today, we are joined by Anthony Wilmot, who is the CEO of, Equity Express Securities Exchange. And we're just going to be getting a sense of the type of work that they are doing, where they're playing in the market and some of the activity, that they are seeing, playing out in what is probably the most mature equities market, on the continent. Anthony, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's lovely to be here.
It's a pleasure to be at your offices. I think I'm just going to start, just from a full disclosure point of view. We were talking about this before this. I went to Rhodes, in my university days. It was some time back, and we're just talking about that. But when it comes to Anthony specifically, he might not know this, but I remember he came to give us a lecture once upon a time because I studied economics and information systems, during my time. That was my speciality, and there he would come in, should be second year. I can't remember if it was second year, and he would come and, talk about what a career in information systems actually looks like, and some of the work that they were doing at the time, which was quite fascinating. So for me, it's a little bit of a 360 moment right now I find myself talking, to someone like Anthony. So maybe that's where we can start today, Anthony, simply to say, like I said, a lot of people know you from the singular systems world, but here you are having started a whole different, stock exchange. What is the link between the two, if any?
Thank you very much for a very intelligent, well thought out question. In essence, I've never believed that I ever have anything to sell. I believe I can only make progress in the world by understanding what clients want. And the creation of the exchange really was fundamentally all around that. So I started Singular Systems in 2002, and you're quite correct. I've come down to Rhodes because we had recruited a number of Rhodes graduates at Singular. And the exchange was born out of, in fact, the most original piece of software that Singular Systems ever had. Singular Systems currently has a lot of different software that it's written, but its original software was a program called Share Trust, which looked after employee share option schemes. And we built that into a trading platform that we used to trade Batuminati in its early days, which is currently still the biggest listed counter on Equity Express Securities Exchange. I'm going to pause for a minute and just tell you we're very excited to announce that our name is changing to the Integrated Exchange on this Friday, on the 1st of March.
Yeah.
So we'll be known as the Integrated Exchange. I can later go into why we've done that, but for the moment, I think that's good enough. So what then happened is once we had applied to the regulators to trade in an OTC market. So trading in Batuma shares happened in 2012. 2015, they informed us to carry on with this activity, you must have a stock exchange license.
Yeah.
So effectively, we put our hand up because we wanted to protect the market. We built our issuer, the current issuer, our client, MultiChoice. We're very happy with what we were doing. At that stage, we were also looking after Media24's BE scheme. Welcome, Yazani. So we applied for a stock exchange license and granted one. I then left Singular because I believed it was important that we had succession planning that organization, and the chap that now runs it had been with me since the inception, and it was time for a change in leadership, and I put my hand up to run the exchange. And that's the history of how I ended up here. We currently are the only South African black-owned exchange, with 53% of our shares owned by historically disadvantaged South Africans. And I'm very proud to say that the FMA also demands that nobody can own more than 15% of the market infrastructure without permission. and we've abided by that regulation as well. So we have 7 shareholders in the exchange, and they have all been with us since inception, and the exchange is financially viable and proceeding very nicely. So that really is the story of the connection between me and Singular.
Okay. It's a very interesting, what you call this, interesting jump, because obviously, you know, you've got this information ICT company and you're creating software, and then you decide to almost go down the rabbit hole, you know, of where one of your platforms is sort of taken you. Because I was really wondering what the connection was between the two.
Well,
it makes sense.
Yeah, the biggest connection is Singular wrote all the software. We've licensed the software from Singular, and they keep maintaining the software. So the entire exchange trading platform, if you look at the bottom right corner of the website, it actually says powered by Singular Systems. So they are our IT provider.
Okay, cool. So let's look at the space that you're in then, you know, for a moment. There's a lot of discussion around, equities in South Africa, the equities market, share trading, all of that. We've been noting, at least as Business Day, we've written quite a lot about delistings, on the exchange. I primarily cover technology, media, and telecoms, and that we've seen a lot of delistings in that space. We've also seen a number of exchanges coming up. The AltX's, the A2X. Has been seeing a lot of listings, especially secondary listings over the last couple of years. And then at the same time, there's a Cape Town exchange that's also come into the market. You guys are also there. What does the landscape look like? And how do you see yourselves, competing in that market?
Well, I can just summarize the 4 participants as I see them. The JSE is the incumbent enormous exchange. To give an idea of size, the JSE does in 15 minutes what we do in a year.
Oh,
so
wow.
That shows you just how big they are. A2X has really positioned itself, the way I see it, as a low-cost alternative, and they've had a lot of support by RMB. And up until now, they can only secondary list JSE listed companies. They don't have a primary listing infrastructure at all. So every single counter is on A2X. And I think in terms of market cap, there's a lot of double counting going on, because A2X will say they listed on their exchange, the JSE say they listed on their exchange. So the market caps are interesting, because effectively neither counter can claim the full market cap.
Yeah.
Cape Town Stock Exchange was a rebranding of 4AX. 4AX started its life looking after co-op shares. That's where they started with. And about 4 years ago, I think they've done a very good job at rebranding themselves as the Cape Town Stock Exchange. So they moved to Cape Town. I'm aware that half their staff are still in Johannesburg, the other staff are in Cape Town. But they positioned themselves there. And I think the narrative in South Africa has been the Cape Town environment, or the Western Cape, functions relatively efficiently. We're aware of some of the political dimensions to being outside of the Western Cape in terms of efficiency of local government. But that move, I think, was very clever. And also with a lot of asset management firms being in Cape Town, I think it's been a wonderful thing that they've done. They currently have a lot of mid-tier companies. So I'm aware of a company that's involved in retailing of wool and in the farming institution. Now that I'm embarrassed to say the name escapes me. But they've got a number of listings. Assupol is listed. There's a number of mid-tier capital listings. And they've been very successful in their bond exchange. When I say successful, I think they've got north of 20 bonds now listed. And they've been in that space for the last 2 years. So that's where the Cape Town Stock Exchange positions itself. We have always been seen, I'm talking about the integrated exchange, has always been seen as a BE exchange. Because our biggest listings have been the BE schemes. And what makes our listings very attractive in the BE space is we can prevent any breach of the BE rules pre-trade. The counters that list in the JSE can't do that.
What does that mean for someone who doesn't understand
pre-trade? Right, that means that if you are a BE investor, you can only buy shares through the integrated exchange once you've been vetted and approved.
Okay, cool.
And there's only one service provider on the 2 BE listings that we have, which is Ukamba, which is Motus's BE, and Multi Choice's Patrumanati, the incumbent that is doing all that work, Singular Systems, they act as broker on our exchange. They will not and cannot permit a shareholder to buy the shares in either of those counters. Whereas on the JSC, if any broker doesn't do their job properly, and they're in excess of 30 brokers, because the JSC is an open exchange, anybody can buy and sell a share listed in the JSC. You're now relying on 30 different organizations to do your BE vetting. Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of brokers aren't specialists in that field.
Yeah.
So in essence, one of MultiChoice's concerns was there could be leakage in terms of the quality of the BE vetting.
Yeah.
And they wanted to make sure Patuma didn't have that. And what's also made it very interesting for us is we as an exchange have in excess of 100,000 black investors. Mm. In fact, Singular was recently involved in Old Mutual's BE deal. So that one will be listing in a couple of years from now. And there is also, Singular has just been awarded the MTN Zakheli deal.
Yeah.
So that will also be hosted on our exchange, but Singular will do the vetting and the BE verification. So it's seen as an exchange where if you want access to black capital, because the Patuma Nati investors receive in excess of 1.5 billion rand a year in dividends,
yeah,
it is a nice place to come for capital to be raised from BE investors, particularly if you're also a company that may require a certain amount of BE and wants a wider, broader-based scheme than the favored few. And I think we know what we mean by the favored few when it comes to BE.
Yeah. One of the most interesting things that, you know, maybe someone might be trying to understand is when you look at the BE counters, you know, that are out there, whether it's Zakhele Futhi, whether it's Phuthuma Nathi, you know, all of the various schemes that are out there, we see them trading on the JSC, for example. And I guess for a lot of people, you see it as a share that you can, you know, buy and sell like anything else. Obviously, having gone through, you know, some of the vetting, I know the most immediate thing that someone would think is, okay, what's the difference between someone who's coming, you know, let's say coming through the integrated exchange to trade, you know, versus, you know, maybe going to the JSC. Is it a fee play? Is it what's going
on? There are two things that make this, the offering of the exchange and the broker, quite unique in the market. The broker partners with the issuer and charge the issuer for services,
yeah,
which has resulted in us being able to offer the services free of charge to the investors.
Okay.
So the investors do not pay to have an account.
Yeah.
The most successful broad-based retail offering that I've seen has been Easy Equities.
Yeah.
That's the Sanlam invested, well, not owned, but Purple Capital Group-owned trading platform. And they, for a long time, didn't charge any fees.
Yeah.
And that you might, well, I've seen it published in the Business Day. They have late last year made a fee of 20 Rand per month to every shareholder. Now, if you've got 80,000 shareholders, that's a reasonable amount of money. And I can only perceive the reason they did that is volumes are so down. Investment in the South African landscape is not very good at the moment. And that's largely attributable to confidence factors. And confidence is driven by lots of other factors. And we won't go into those now. But essentially, we've managed through support from the issuers to maintain a cost-free environment for shareholders. And the other thing that we've done that we're very proud of is there's no minimum fee on our exchange. We charge a fee, and that fee is well publicized, 1.5% on the value of shares traded. But that means that if you only want to spend 150 Rand, you're going to pay less than 10 Rand in fees for that transaction. Whereas most other exchanges have a minimum fee of 100, 150 Rand per trade. So we basically say 1.5% is 1.5%. And if you've got very little money, you should pay very little in the way of fees. If you've got a lot more money, you pay a lot more. And the reason that works so well for us is we can truly say we treat all shareholders equally, whether you're investing lots of money. So the only time you'll pay on our exchange as an investor is when you transact in the shares, buy or sell. And I'm proud to say that most of what we've seen, because we have to survey the market, as all exchanges do, we're seeing a lot of long-term holders in these counters. The trading activity is lower than you would typically think, although the biggest counter on our exchange, Phuthuma Nathi, trades about 5% of its issued shares every year, which is reasonable. It's certainly not a complete dog. So we effectively trade, we average for the year around about 1.5 to 2 million rand a day. Is what we trade in shares. So the average investor can get in and out quite comfortably.
Okay, cool. So there is liquidity in the market.
Yes, absolutely. But less so in the motors counter, but there is the liquidity. We have a trade every day. But Batuma, we're trading between 20 and 50 trades a day. So there's decent liquidity.
Okay. Yeah. And I like the fact that you are already, you're touching on the trading volumes, right?
Yes.
Because I think it's one of those, we know that the schemes exist, but we don't often get a sense of what the volumes are looking like.
Yes.
And I think it must be interesting. You know, you must have some interesting data points, you know, just around what trade is looking like over there. Obviously, you've given us an idea of the type of volumes you're doing per day. Are there any standouts, you know, for you in the, whether it's demographics, whether it's the amount of money going in and out, whether the size of trades that, you know, that you think might surprise people?
I think the standout has been the adoption on our market of what we refer to as hosted counters. Hosted counters currently are JSE listed counters that haven't secondary listed in our market. There's no secondary listing. But the share, the investors in our market have access to those JSE shares on a direct basis. What I mean by that is the integration between our exchange and the JSE has been automated. So you can effectively buy a JSE listed share directly on our exchange. It trades on the JSE. It must abide by all the rules of the JSE. But once you've received those shares, they're held in singular nominee's script account on behalf of the investor. And it means that those investors don't have to go and open another broking account with another broker, which is very, very nice. And the reason that all happened, once again, it wasn't something that I envisaged at the time of applying for our license. I didn't see it as a gap. But Batuminati allowed Batuminati investors to swap 20% of their shares for MCG shares. Yeah. And suddenly they had to accommodate that. And with all those shareholders that had Batuma shares, there was no way of saying to them, you have to now go and get other accounts. Yeah. So out of necessity, we created that. And we've seen a growing interest in hosted counters because it just means that you don't have to have this debate as the exchange is you must list here. What makes our rules also unique is we only have primary listings. There's no secondary listing. And the reason we do that is we are the only exchange in South Africa that can enforce trading restrictions. And you might say to me, well, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Trading restrictions in Batuma's case, nobody is allowed to, in terms of the MOI of the company, to earn more than 10% of the shares.
Oh, okay.
So because we sit on the entire register and we know exactly at a beneficial owner level, which has been highly useful in this grey listing debacle that we've had, we know exactly who owns the shares. And we can prevent anybody acquiring more than 10% because every calculation that we do on every order placed in our market, will that result in this shareholder owning more than 10% of the shares? And if the answer to that is yes, you can't place it. So that's why we are so proud of the fact that our trades are all pre-vetted. We virtually can't have failure in our organization from imposing the rules that the BE counters impose. Obviously, if Singular doesn't do their work properly as a Singular Financial Services as our broker, then it could happen. But from an actual transactional perspective, it can't happen because it's programmed into the system.
Okay, I guess that's why it helps to, I guess, have started the platform, you know, the base platform to begin with.
Yes, you know, and ironically, I programmed the initial share trust program, and I was deeply involved in the design of the system. So IT is something that I am very proud of my skills in that area and have been extremely useful from the exchange perspective. I mean, most people will agree an exchange is largely, apart from its regulation, is systems-based. IT is critical to an exchange.
Mm. Curiosity right now,
yes.
Because we've spoken quite a bit about Batuminati, and maybe I want to go a little bit deeper into that because it is probably one of the country's biggest BEE schemes.
And very successful as well.
Yeah. And, you know, because I cover multi-choice, it's one of the ones that I see paying those constant dividends, you know, every single year. What 2019,
yes.
Multi-choice gets unbundled out of Naspers.
Yes,
what is that doing to your universe?
It was very interesting because the only price point to try and get a sense of independent value was Batuma. Because at that time, MultiChoice was 100% held subsidiary of Naspers.
Yeah.
So nobody knew what it was worth. I've had deep interactions with the company secretary of MultiChoice and Naspers for years. In fact, Gillian Kisby-Green, who was the company secretary for MultiChoice for many, many years, gave me the break back in 1996 when I wrote the first version of their employment equity scheme program. So I've been involved for a very long time, and I was very proud of her because she took a huge chance to allow us to build the technology for the trading platform, which went live in 2012. So in terms of my universe, what initially happened is we had the unbundling. It didn't really mean much other than a lot of excitement around the fact that MultiChoice was going to be in the top 14. It was a very big share and everybody was excited about that. But it became very interesting when they offered the unbundling. So what they did is they saw that maybe big shareholders in Pituma. So if you want to sell a 30, 40 million rand stake of your Pituma shares, you'll need to contact the broker. And the broker knows when there's a big seller, they will be able to try and canvass big buyers on the register and see if they're interested in taking your trade. Because you imagine if you're doing 2 million rand a day in trading, it takes a long time to sell a 40 million rand slug.
Yeah.
So the broker offers a service that will put the two together and get them to agree a price, and then we'll transact. But what we noticed was MultiChoice was keen to allow big shareholders the ability to exit a large chunk. And that was what the 20% share swap was. But it forced them to actually value a Pitumanati share compared with an MCG share. Okay. And they came up with a value. And ironically, for every 102 odd Pituma shares, you've got 100 MCG shares.
Yeah.
So they said that the Pituma share was worth slightly less, sort of 98% of an MCG share.
Yeah.
And what I find fascinating is watching how those share prices converge and diverge from time to time.
Yeah.
So when the most recent results came out, which everybody agreed weren't particularly stellar, the MCG share price went from 140 Rand all the way down to 60.
Yeah.
There was times when Pitumba was trading at a premium, a big premium,
yeah,
to that, let's just call it one-on-one valuation, where the two were essentially the same price. And as of about 2 weeks ago, it changed. So Pitumba, the lowest it got to was about 87 Rand.
Yeah.
It's now trading back at 100 effectively today. And MCG is now back at 105. So once again, MCG is worth slightly more than Pitumba share. But it is in time watching. It isn't time interesting watching the movement between the two, because I think there probably is arbitrage if you want to sell the one when it's high, buy the other, and vice versa. But it has been very interesting to see how it's changed over time.
Are they necessarily meant to be one-to-one?
No, it was just you asked me what did it mean,
yeah,
when they got unbundled. It meant that the management of MultiChoice had to put a price on the Pituma share as they perceived it, versus the MultiChoice share. And that's how they came up with that value. And I think it was largely market-driven. I never really understood exactly how they did it. I'm sure they have a rationale of how they did it, and if you'd ask them, they'd tell you. But essentially, that was the value that was came out. The only difference apart from the two is investors or your readers would be interested to know what they own is quite different. The MCG share, the holding company, owns in excess of 75% of MultiChoice South Africa, whereas Pituma shareholders only have a share in MultiChoice South Africa. They have no equity exposure to any of the rest of the group in the rest,
yeah,
of Africa.
Yeah.
Whereas obviously MultiChoice Group owns the South African operations plus all the foreign ones. And my sense is, as we discussed pre the meeting, the Canal Plus is interested in the African footprint, probably maybe more than the South African one.
And let's actually get into, you know, Canal Plus. Maybe that's a good place for us to round up today's discussion. It's something that I've been following, you know, from, you know, February 1st when the offer was made, and it's been fascinating to see the action, you know, that's happening out there. Maybe you could, you know, help us to paint the picture, give a little bit more color around a couple of things. You've given some insight into what Pitumanati actually owns and all that, because there has been some debate, you know, as to, because BEE is a big thing in South Africa. And part of the debate is, okay, if Canal Plus is to really come in and take over this asset, would they have to make some type of an offer to, you know, Pitumanati?
Okay, I have fairly strong views on this point, so thank you for the question. My understanding, as it currently stands, is ICASA, the Independent Broadcast Authority in South Africa, has mandated that MultiChoice South Africa have a strong BEE component.
Yeah.
And Koos Becker, back when he ran Naspers, answer to that, not when he back in when he ran multi-choice and then Nutspace, answer to that question was a broad-based BE scheme.
Yeah.
So interestingly, when the announcement happened last year that multi-choice had scrapped the dividend, no dividend was paid to the ordinary shareholders, most people didn't realize that Batuminati shareholders still received 80% of the previous dividend. So there was a 20% cut, but it's still at the current price yielding a dividend yield, if they don't cut it again, north of 20%. So it's still a fine investment. But it has been interesting to see how Batuminati has followed MCG down in terms of the pricing. I don't know exactly what Canalplus's intentions are. I have no inside information on this at all. All I can observe is the share price traded quite north of where it currently stands. I think the multi-choice management turned it down because I think they can get more. The rand continues to depreciate against both the dollar and the euro. So I think from Canal Plus's point, if they wait a little bit longer, maybe they have to shell out less euros to buy the MCG shares. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was another offer. What it means for Batuma shareholders is very interesting. It all depends on whether Canal Plus can persuade the South African Broadcasting Authority that they no longer need BEE. If this were to be the case, then I have a feeling that there might be a liquidation event for Batuminati shareholders. If that's not the case, I can't see why they would want to change the structure. The structure works.
Yeah.
They've invested a lot of time and energy. And the Batuminati shareholders, everybody has forgotten that when that scheme was formed back in 2007, they paid 10 rand per share. The share is currently trading at 100. And their dividends have been north of 20 rand for the last 5 years per share.
Yeah.
So they've had a superb investment.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that a lot of them would love a liquidation event because it would be a once-off bestseller, but I'm not sure that that's where it'll go. But that's my sense of it all.
Yeah, of course, because I think part of the debate is, you know, there's this feeling about, you know, maybe participating whatever upside, you know, ends up happening if, you know, that merger is to happen. Keen to understand, once again, because I follow the MultiChoice share, not the Batuminati share. When MultiChoice reached, because MultiChoice's peak was last year in March at around 155 or so.
Very briefly.
Right, very briefly.
Yeah.
Did Batuminati also find itself in the same region?
Yes, Batuminati, this time last year, was trading at around about 140. So it was a little bit behind. The highest price we've ever achieved in Batuma was about 6 years ago. It got to 182.
Oh, wow.
For a brief time. The big difference is because there's a restriction, you don't have the big institutions buying. You know, there's no PIC, for example, in the Batuma share. But there are, one thing I'd like to say about Batuma that I think is distinguished from the other schemes. Firstly, it paid off its debt very quickly.
Yeah.
The share was valued 50 Rand initially. There was 40 Rand worth of preference share debt. That was repaid, my memory serves me correctly, around about 2015-16.
Yeah.
So from then on, the dividend flow in Batuma has been superb for investors.
Yeah.
That's why they can afford to receive such high dividends. I mean, for the average investor, if you're receiving 200% of your original capital every year as a dividend,
yeah,
that's a magnificent investment.
It is.
But what has distinguished the Batuminati thing is it's an endless scheme. Most of these BE schemes, and I've never really understood why they've done it. This is where I think Nuspers and Koos and the team were very clever. They said, I want any South African the ability to buy these shares. But the deal is you come in because of your historical disadvantaged position. And if you want to exit, you sell to an equally disadvantaged person. So what it meant was you came in at a good price, but you're going to always exit the price another black investor will buy from you.
Yeah.
And that's the restriction. Whereas if it wasn't restricted, I think the Batuminati share would trade at least double what it currently is. Okay. Because that dividend yield is so sweet.
Yeah.
You just, I mean, give me one share on the JSE that trades with a dividend yield close to 20%. I don't think there are too many.
No.
There might be what we would call dividend traps where last year's earnings are now reflecting that's what the price is, but this year's dividend is likely to be cut quite significantly. So I think it's been a very good long-term investment by the definition. Whether it'll grow hugely in capital depends on two things. If there could be a liquidity event, that could help it. And if MultiChoice pulls out of its current problems that it's finding itself, then it'll continue to do very well. The other thing that makes the scheme unique is there is no termination date. It's an endless scheme.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas a lot of other B schemes, you've seen They've got close periods. And then it ends, then everybody cashes out and they've got to do another scheme. The cost of that is enormous. So I've never understood why there are not more endless schemes. I guess maybe if you put in a termination date, you guarantee to attract the capital at the beginning. Because people know they're going to get out.
Yeah.
Whereas in Patuma, you only can get out if there's somebody who's willing to buy your shares. But I've been very proud of what Singular Financial Services have done over the years. We've done some big block, what we refer to as block trades. That's where the broker finds a buyer, seller, buyer, willing buyer. And you might remember that Brimstone announced in December that they want to sell 1 million Patuma shares. That was a 100 million rand deal. And that deal went through the market in early February, early this month. So there is always somebody willing to take the shares. And the other bank that I've found has been very, very innovative in the space has been RMB. They've been funding a lot of BE counters or BE companies that wish to acquire Patuma shares on the back of the dividend yield. They're prepared to lend money to give them access to the capital to acquire the shares on the back of the dividend yield. So it is still a share, in my view, that is highly attractive.
Yeah.
And will continue to do so as long as the dividend is not cut any further. I think you will see a big change if MultiChoice South Africa's results are much worse than they have been. Largely, the group has been afflicted by loss-making African operations, and the SA results are not nearly as bad as everybody thinks.
Yeah.
Because everybody sees MCG as being the South African operation, where it's not. It's South Africa plus Africa.
Yes. Maybe where we can actually end off, because just as a quick follow-up, I like, you know, the description that you were given. And it's quite, I think the most interesting thing to me is, I guess, the consideration that goes into maybe Putumanati trading versus MCG trading.
Yes.
Yeah. And I guess more than anything else, it's the liquidity, you know, that is quite surprising that there's a lot of activity there. And also at the same time, the fact that, you know, there are big blocks, you know, that do come into the market, yeah. 100 million, you know, like what you said, obviously this is not like a daily occurrence.
No.
Right. But
probably, you know, we probably do in the region of 10 to 20 block trades a year.
Yeah. So, it's good to hear that, you know, all of that is happening. Any other, you know, of the BEE schemes on your, you know, that are listed, you know, on your exchange that have, you know, perhaps performed well? Like I said, it's great to be having, you know, a conversation, because I don't think we hear enough about what's going on in that particular space. Obviously, there's a lot of liquidity in Putumanati. Is there any other standout?
Yes, Motus have done well for us. You might remember that Motus effectively sold one of their businesses to Dubai World. And that was taken out, and that transaction happened, and those shareholders received dividends because the shares were effectively sold. So Motus have been with us and since inception. And if you look on the price performance chart on our website, it has also done well. Its dividend yield isn't nearly as sweet as a MultiChoice. But they've had their supporters. And there are actually a lot of investors there. There's 6,000. Most of the Motus investors were original employees. So that's where it's been a bit quite small. But what I thought also Patuma did that was clever is they allowed black companies to buy shares, which creates a huge price underpin. If you limit your B shareholding to just individuals, you can become quite vulnerable to rumor, because individuals are notoriously nervous investors,
yes.
Whereas companies have a longer-term perspective. There's one other thing we've hardly touched on, because I've always said we're not just a BE exchange, and we spent a lot of time talking about BE. What we're also excited about as the exchange is we've now got our bonds and notes license.
Yeah.
We collaborated strongly with Strait in that entire process and have, in fact, worked with them and integrated our software directly into their systems to facilitate trade in that process. And I'm pleased to announce that we had our first bond listing supported by an institution, nice. Liberty Holdings Group, back in December. And the issuer was a company called Exio Debt. And I'm very proud and grateful that they took the opportunity to be our first listing. And we're really hoping that we're going to grow in that space and become seen as more than being just a BE exchange.
That's
my hope. Because at the end of the day, as you see, inequities, lots of delistings. Our shared experience, we started with 5 listings. We've now got 9 more coming next year. We are growing and we are excited about the future. But it is easier for us because we are a very small, nimble player. And in terms of market statistics and volume trading, we are proudly the third biggest exchange in South Africa. Yes. And have had a very solid track record, not only in the BE space, but with our two non-BE listings, which we've actually got four non-BE companies. Most of them don't trade, but one of them trades quite a bit, and they've been happy with what we're doing. So it's certainly an exciting space that, from our experience, is growing. And I think competition in any market is really, really good.
Do you see any space for, because obviously there's the equities piece, we've been talking yes. about it. Now you're putting the fixed income, you know, yes. piece with the bonds. Do you have any appetite for bringing any of the, what's the word I'm thinking about?
Crypto, some, those sorts of things.
Maybe not crypto, perhaps crypto, but I was going to say some of the bundled products. Exchange-traded notes or exchange-traded
okay, so
funds.
Our license allows us to list bonds and notes. We can't list a unit trust, for example.
Okay, cool.
We can't list the share of a share in a trust or something. So to the extent that a note has attributes that its underlying asset is an exchange-traded fund or some other type of instrument, we could certainly look at listing that.
Okay, cool.
We're allowed to list bonds and notes. Most of what we've seen up until now has been fixed income in nature.
Yeah.
But you know, notes can be many things.
Yes.
So I'm excited to see where it goes. Right now, I'm seeing a lot of interest on the bond side.
Yeah.
I'm also delighted that I have a new story to tell,
yeah.
in that being new and positive and something to speak to. And I'm meeting lots of new people
yeah.
because the bond space is quite different to the equity
yes.
space. Right now, unfortunately, we desperately need a boost of confidence. I'm sure as the business day, you guys write exhaustively about how we need confidence.
Yes.
And I think the most recent budget was evidence of really no real new ideas. There was nothing in this latest budget that indicated that there's any new grand plan.
Yeah.
I think as a country, we lack a plan. We just seem to be bumbling along. And I would love to see more grand plans.
Okay, cool. So that's where we end off. It has been a really great discussion, you know, talking about, you know, what's going on, in the equity space, you know, talking to South Africa's third largest, you know, securities exchange, that is Equity Express, Securities Exchange, which will now be known as the Integrated Exchange.
From Friday.
From Friday this week. We are recording this on the 27th of February, which means, you know, that announcement, that change will be made on the 1st of March. And then, you know, just talking about what's going on, you know, in the BEE space, some of the counters that are there. Very fascinating, you know, to hear some of the details around the Putumanati BEE scheme, you know, which is multi-choices BEE scheme. The correlation between movements in the multi-choice share price and that particular scheme, but also at the same time, some of the individual idiosyncrasies that drive that particular counter, the fact that it is, you know, something that is liquid, and you know, some of the structural elements that have allowed it, you know, to succeed as much as that it has. Also made mention of Motus to say that has been, you know, a good one, you know, just limited by the fact that, of course, it's primarily a lot of, you know, ex-employees, you know, that are invested in that. But a big piece, you know, that, you know, Anthony is excited about is that, you know, they're trying to push, you know, beyond being seen as, you know, a BEE exchange, getting into the fixed income space, you know, with some of the bonds. And he's saying that that's a, you know, very unique opportunity that they've been having. And it's something that's going to help them, you know, to push forward beyond what they are currently doing right now. So it has been a good one. We were in conversation with Anthony Wilmot. He is the CEO of the Integrated Exchange. Anthony, thank you so much for.
Thank you very much indeed for seeing me today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.